No one likes to be around a crab. A crab is the type of person who complains about everything, who is very pessimistic, and after a while, if you hang around him, it just totally drains your energy, and you find yourself start to become like him. But the truth of the matter is that if you analyze the behavior of a crab, a real crab, there's something much deeper in a crab than just the fact that he complains about everything. You take a crab, one crab, and you put it in a box. The crab will find its way out of the box and move out into the bigger, wider world. But if you take three or four of them and then put them in a box, so none of them will ever get out. Why? Because the minute one of the crabs starts to climb out, all of its friends or enemies or however, misery loves company, just go and pull them right back into the box. So that's the nature of a crab. Moral of the story is obvious, is that make sure that you don't hang around any crabs. Make sure that all of your friends are people who want to get out of the box or who elevate you out of the box. If you have people who are positive about life and want to move up, so you move up too. But if you're with people who are cynical, people who complain, so it doesn't do any good for anybody. And this is a very, very important principle in life. Almost could say it's Yisayid how you say this, because this world, despite all of its problems, is a beautiful, wonderful world. Vayara lekim ki toiv. However, we can walk through this world with all of its good and all of its beauty, and we can miss everything. We can be crabs, and we can just complain. And if we look at the world with all of its good and all of its beauty, so then life itself is beautiful. You're always positive, you're always energized, you're always excited to wake up in the morning. But if you're the opposite, life itself is a Gehenna. You only see bad, you only see black, you only see low, and not very fun to get up in the morning. So it's kedai to look at the good. And being able to look at the good is something that, if you think about it, and think about it again, is something that comes out of something in this week's parsha. Not a new vart, it's a vart that I'm sure that everybody is familiar with, but taken to its logical conclusion is really a perspective of how to look at life and how to live life by Yara Lekim Ki Toiv. Parshas Va'era is the parsha of the Makkos. 7 out of 10 Makkos are in Parshas Va'era. And it's exciting parsha, fast-moving parsha, and kind of makes you feel like you wish that you were there. Watch all the things happening. Dam and Sfardea and Kinim and Arav. But one of the things that's very noteworthy, and Rashi, the Midrashim, pointed out, is that the two major players, Klal Yisrael, in producing the Makkos, Moshe and Aaron, and Moshe is the Elohim, Moshe is the real director, Aaron is supposed to be the speaker, the peh, Moshe Rabbeinu is basically on the sidelines for the production of the first three Makkos. You take a look at the psukim. So for Dam, it says Emor el Aroin, kaches matcha. When you're talking about Tzvardeya, again, Emor el Aroin, Neteis Yodcha. When you're talking about Kinim, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Aroin. Aroin, Aroin, Aroin. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu? Nishda. Not there. Why? So we have two midrashim, which basically explain the aside. Rashi brings both of them. When we're talking about Dam, and then the Mefarshim apply it to Tzvardeya as well, we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to be involved with Makkos Dam. Why? Amar Rav Tanchum, Lama Lo Laku Amayim Al Yidei Moshe. Moshe should have been the one to do it. He didn't have to speak. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amayim Sheshamrucha. The water that watched you, that took care of you, Kishu shlachta liyar, when you were thrown into the yar, eino din shiyilku ayadcha. It doesn't make sense that you should be the one to hit them. What about kinim? So kinim, we have the same thing, the same person. Amar of tanchum, amalei akadosh baruch hu lemoshe, afar shehegin olecha. The earth, the dirt that protected you, kishoragdes a mitzri, helped you hide the mitzri, eino din shiyilka yadcha. It doesn't make sense that you should hit it. Lefikach laku gimel makas elu ayidei Aaron. So because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was protected by the water, because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was protected by the sand, Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to patch the water, and Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to patch the sand. L'chera, it's an inyan of Hakaras HaTov. But the strange thing is that, number one, what kind of Hakaras HaTov is there to water? What kind of Hakaras HaTov is there to sand? Water and sand are both inanimate. They don't understand that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying thank you. But the question goes even deeper, and that is, what about Mitzrayim itself? Not just Moshe Rabbeinu, but every Jew should have had Hakaras HaTov to Mitzrayim. Why? Mitzrayim was a very nice host to Klal Yisrael for many, many years, until the Shibud started. And the truth of the matter is that the Torah itself tells us that it's true. We have to have Hakaras HaTov to Mitzrayim. Pasuk in Kiseitze says, Lo yisasayiv mitzri ki gera yisa biartzai. Whereas Amon and Moav, not allowed to intermarry with Amon and Moav at all. Mitzrayim, we have a much lower standard. The Medrash says, Amr of Yeshua ben Karcha, Gedoy lehi hatayva sha'adam oisem chaveray. Hakaras HaTov is a very big inyan. Bedin ha'yish le'yavay mitzri b'Yisrael ha'ilam. But because of Hakaras HaTov, so we're allowed to marry in to the Egyptians after one generation. But what's the inyan? Apparently it's not just an inyan of saying thank you. If it was an inyan of saying thank you, so then it would only be relevant to the mitzvim who were alive at that time. If it was an inyan of saying thank you, it wouldn't be relevant when you're talking about water, when you're talking about sand. And so the vort that the Velt says over here is that what you see is that Hakaras HaTov is not saying thank you. Hakaras HaTov is a midah. Hakaras HaTov is the ability to realize that good was done to me. And if I benefited from water and I benefited from sand, then there's no way that I can do something bad to the water, bad to the sand. If I benefited from the Egyptians or the Egyptian people, so then the Egyptian people in my eyes are not as terrible as the Amonim and the Moavim. It's a perspective. It's a midah. Hakaras HaTov. But it's deeper than that. And what does it mean that it's a midah? You're always supposed to see good. Why should you see good? The answer is because if you don't see good, so then you're significantly downgrading your quality of life. But if you always see good, so then your life is glorious, your life is exciting, and your life is beautiful. And a couple of years ago, I heard a story, tape from Rabbi Wein. I never heard the story live, because way back when he didn't talk about these things. But the tape was a tape of his reminiscing about his relationship that he had with Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. A great, great tape. Many phenomenal stories on that tape. And for me, what was a particular hanah was that you walked away with the picture and the impression that you really, really expected to have as a Talmud of Talmud. One of the stories on the tape, he talks about the fact that he consulted with Rav Yosher Ber twice when it came to different jobs or job offers that he had. One wasn't taking a job offer. He was offered a job at YU. which he wasn't sure that he wanted to take, and he asked Rav Yashar Ber whether he should take it, and Rav Yashar Ber advised him not to take it. He said, I don't think that it's good for you, and you shouldn't take it, and he didn't take the job. The second instance was after he was at the OU for a number of years. He ran the OU Kashrus division. And after about 2-3 years, he decided that that was it. He wanted to move on. That's at that point, he started Shari Torah, which is where I went to high school, or whatever. It was that, all that to Kufa. But he decided that he wanted to leave. Rav Yashar Ber was very involved with the OU. He decided he would consult him. And Rav Yashar Ber said, listen, last time when you asked me, so I backed you up and I told you don't take the job. He said, this time I can't do that. I think you're making a mistake. I think you're doing a good job in your current position. I think that that the job is right for you and you're right for the job. And it's good for everybody involved. I think that you should stay with it. They went back and forth on the tzedadim, and then he basically said, listen, behind it all, what's really bothering me is that because of some of the experiences that I've had over the last number of years, I find that I'm becoming cynical towards certain things. Certain things that I used to have respect for, certain things that I used to hold up on a pedestal, I'm beginning to get cynical about them. To which Rav Yashar Ber said, listen, if you're beginning to get cynical, so then that's a reason to leave. If you're getting really cynical, then that's a reason to run. Because cynicism is at the root of basically all evils. And cynicism eventually leads to denial, and denial leads to kfira. But that's where it all starts. If you look at things with a cynical eye, you look at things in a light that there's nothing good over here, so at the end of the day, you can become a kaifer baker itself. The midah of hakaras atayv is not just a midah that, I have to realize that there are good things in the world. It's a cook. Life is beautiful. Life itself is beautiful. And I see the good. And the bad, okay, fine. If there wasn't bad in the world, tell people, then we wouldn't be here. There would be no job for us to do. Margalo Bapume de Rabbi Samber. You ask everybody, anybody, what do you do if you want life? You ask 10 people, and well, probably all 10 of them are going to tell you, Mitzor Lashon Chomeira. Don't talk Lashon Hara. Read all the Lashon Hara books. Work on your Lashon Hara. You're going to get life. Rabbi Samber likes to say over a beautiful vart, that comes afterwards. Mi ha'ish ha'chavetz chayim. Who's a person who wants life? Oyev yamim. A person who loves his days, a person who loves his life. L'rois tov. And he sees good. A person's a positive person. A person sees good in everything. A person realizes all of his opportunities. He's got life. That is life. A person who's a crab, a person who complains, he has no life. And Mela, you see the good. Your Ayiv Yamim Lirais Taiv, then of course, Mitzar L'Shoin Chameiras O'Sechem Adar Mirma, it's not so hard anymore. Because we don't need to grouch, we don't need to gripe, we only see the good. Every week I bring in, almost every week, I bring my cookies for my wife, and so I'll share with you something else this week along with the cookies. Last Friday, my wife tells me, listen, I get a mazel tov. I said, mazel tov? Well, what happened? So a number of months back, we have a neighbor who, she's a real expert in special education. She teaches in a number of the seminaries, maybe on the second year program for some of the girls who want to go into special education. So this year, she decided that she was going to run a program where she was going to invite in different people with life experience to talk about their own particular situation. So she asked my wife to come in and speak with the girls about what it's like to have a child with special needs. Some of you, maybe all of you, are aware that my oldest son is very, very limited, very, very mugbal in what he can do. And of course, the brunt of the burden comes on my wife, and it's something that she deals with every day, and she's dealt with for the last 23 years. So she said many things. But a centerpiece of the talk that she gave was, there's so much that you can learn from Yehuda, from my son. There's so much that you can learn. Well, what can you learn? He doesn't talk. He doesn't do very much. He does basic tasks. What can you learn? And she said, he's always smiling. He's always smiling. A normal person falls down, hurts themselves. They kvetch. They cry. He falls down. He grunts. He picks himself back up again. And within 20 seconds, he's got a big smile on his face again. Why? Because unlike the rest of us who crab and kvetch, he loves life. Life is beautiful. There's nothing else to see, but this, just that life is good. That was what she told the girls. And what was the mazel tov? So she says, what's it called? I met her on the street, this lady, and she said that, at the end of the course, so they gave out a paper to, talk about which classes they liked and etc. and so forth. She says to me, it was basically unanimous that all the girls liked mine, maybe one didn't, but thought that was the one that impacted them the very most. My wife basically said, okay, fine, I gotta get back and do some more laundry and make some more cookies and, take care of Shabbos, but that's the way that it goes. Sometimes you only see these things through the eyes of a person who doesn't have the ability to be cynical. But life is beautiful. And that's what Hakaras HaTayv is. Hakaras HaTayv is just being makir, that life itself is gorgeous. And if life is gorgeous, so then we have a desire to use life. The Chavis Alvavis says that the key to Avodas Hashem, he says in the beginning of Shar Avodas Elokim, the key to Avodas Hashem is Hakaras HaTayv. Once we realize all the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, how beautiful life is, of course you want to use your life. Of course you want to be Ayved. You don't realize how much you have in life. Okay, fine, it's all for me. And if I don't have everything that I want, so then I can become cynical. We're sitting here in Yeshiva, which is a very veritable Gan Eden. It's very, very hard to complain about anything in yeshiva unless you really try to find something to complain about, or unless you walk around with an attitude that I'm entitled for everything to be absolutely perfect. And that's crazy. There's inkazeh davar. Everybody finds themselves in a matziv where every day they're growing. Every day they have opportunities to grow like nowhere else that they've been before. And this is it. These are the best years. You've got to take advantage of that, and you've got to be positive about that. And if each and every one of us appreciates all of our opportunities, and we see what a Gan Eden we're in, the whole world is a Gan Eden. So then Be'ezras Hashem will walk around our whole lives happy as a lark, not suffering, but excited about the next day and everything that it has to offer. And that's basically what we learned from the message over here. Hakaras HaTayv is not saying thank you. Hakaras HaTayv is not saying shkoyach. Hakaras HaTayv is an attitude. It's an attitude and a midah of seeing the good. Are there problems in the world? Absolutely. Otherwise, we might as well all retire and go home because there's nothing for us to do. But even the things which are imperfect are things for us to work on. But the focus has to be light. And we have the focus on the light. So as a Hashem, every day is an adventure. Every day is a happening. Every day is toiv. Vayarli kim ki toiv. That's our world. That's Olam Hazeh, and that's the happiness of our life. Everybody have a good Shabbos.